We're in conversation with Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A bit of a roadmap for what we hope to touch on in our time together. The bipartisan infrastructure law and what President Biden's spending agenda means for Wisconsin. The Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal in our country's deep division over gun laws. We start with the Waukesha parade tragedy and Baldwin's reflections on the Senate floor. What are your questions for Senator Baldwin? What are your biggest concerns, especially in these pandemic times? 800-642-1234. Senator Tammy Baldwin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's great to join you.
Six people died, more than 60 injured in that tragedy in Waukesha. You joined with your colleague across the aisle, Senator Ron Johnson, demanding outside groups not use this atrocity for political gain. Can you tell us about the message you were trying to send here?
Yes. First of all, Waukesha was really trying so hard and I think has been successful in really unifying and standing together to heal. What a horrific tragedy, struck there on November 21st. And the idea that outside groups would try to politicize the tragedy was, I think, really disturbing. And so after consulting with local officials, we were pleased to stand together and say, don't politicize, don't divide. This is a time for unity. And we took it a step further and observed a moment of silence on the Senate floor, recognizing the lives lost, but also so many who just witnessed things that they will never forget. And it is, such a tragedy, such senseless violence.
What I heard from you on the Senate floor, I think, was community. Don't continue to attack each other. Don't attack your community. And, this year started, as you're well aware, with the Capitol riot. We bookend here with the Waukesha tragedy. When you walk the halls of Congress, as you have for the past 23 years, how strained are relationships? How are lawmakers getting along or not?
Obviously there is heightened partisanship right now. It is not reflective, though, of the personal relationships that senators have. I would say that, the disagreements, the conflict is what is in the headlines. And I would also say that if you were studying the daily activities, just take yesterday, for example, you would see, the roll call votes, and then you'd see by unanimous consent, the Senate passed this, that, the other thing. So it sort of operates on two levels, if you will. We do a lot of bipartisan work. Doesn't get really featured in the headlines, but there's also, it is a terribly polarized time, and I hope we can see our way through that to greater cooperation.
I want to move on to Kyle Rittenhouse's jury acquittal last month, all charges from last year during the night of civil unrest in Kenosha, where he fatally shot two people. It really brought our nation's gun laws into sharper conversation and really at this crossroads for what is self-defense when our nation is awash with guns and semi-automatic weapons. What, so for you, a senator, what measures, what actions are you backing that will break the cycle of violence in our communities?
Well, I very much support universal background checks. And that, in my mind, would be it's something that 90%.
I think we're having some trouble hearing you. Are you still there, Senator Tammy Baldwin? I think we just lost Senator Tammy Baldwin here. As we talk about the latest issues facing Wisconsin, I think I see her on the line. Is she still there? No, she is not there. We're going to try to get her back on the line. Meanwhile, what is on your mind as we talk about issues facing Wisconsin with Senator Tammy Baldwin? You can join in pressing issues. How is the federal government handling infrastructure in Wisconsin, like roads, public transportation, water quality? Should the government provide more stimulus checks or extend unemployment compensation into the new year? Are there issues that you'd like Senator Baldwin to tackle? Let us know, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's pick up our conversation with Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin as we discuss the pressing issues facing Wisconsin. We are talking about the gun laws in America and the Rittenhouse acquittal. Steve in Sun Prairie has a question along those lines. Steve, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I do find it funny. I did hear the senator's opening monologue about trying to find unity. Yet I just read her statement in relation to Rittenhouse, and it was the most divisive, inaccurate thing I've read in a long time. You know, what happened with Rittenhouse was he defended himself from three people were attacking him. Is the senator's heart so hateful that she would want someone she disagrees with to be killed when they're being attacked? Or do they, or should they have the right to defend themselves?
Senator Baldwin, go ahead.
Yeah, so here are the facts. Kyle Rittenhouse was a minor at the time, traveled from Illinois, and he picked up a AR-15 rifle in Wisconsin that was illegally purchased for him. And then he kind of took the law in his own hands during a riot. He killed two people and injured another. In Wisconsin, during the trial, the judge has now ruled that it's legal for a minor to walk the streets in Wisconsin with an assault weapon. I do feel that there was just no accountability. And the other thing that was very apparent during the trial was that had he not had a weapon, there would have been a different outcome had he, held somebody in a chokehold or something like that. So the weapon was a factor in the jury's decision. I think just starting with the question you asked before the break, is that universal background checks and stopping straw purchasers would be a well-supported and prudent thing for the Congress of the United States to pass.
Well, to pick up on that, the White House continues to push Congress on aspects of gun control that have to route through you, essentially, route through your chamber, like universal background checks, like banning high-capacity magazines. Do you see any movement, any ability to get gun laws passed in your chamber?
Not in the near term, because our agenda for the balance of the year is quite full, as we may talk about with the Build Back Better budget and a number of other must-pass legislation. But I think when we begin the new year, that's a priority that should come to the front again.
Let's move on to the massive bipartisan infrastructure law. For Wisconsin, that means billions over 5 years for highways, hundreds of millions public transit, $100 million to expand broadband. There's hundreds of millions for water infrastructure. So something you said, though, I want to piece out. You said it prioritizes projects and communities often overlooked. How so? Senator Baldwin, are you there? I think we're having another connection issue as we talk with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Can you hear us, Senator Baldwin? And I think our line just went dead once again as we talk with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on a range of issues and issues that you want to talk about as well. Infrastructure law, broadband, PFAS, water infrastructure. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234 as we work to get Senator Tammy Baldwin back on the line and looking at major issues facing Wisconsin, pressing issues facing our communities, and wondering, is the federal government doing enough to help states maintain and upgrade roads, bridges, public transportation, keep water safe to drink? How do you feel about Congress's work addressing these things? Senator Baldwin, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Go ahead on the infrastructure law. And you said it prioritizing projects and communities often overlooked.
Yes. I think obviously the bill defines infrastructure very broadly, but let's take just a couple of examples. Broadband, we saw during the pandemic how essential having high-speed broadband is for education when schools turn to virtual learning, for healthcare when so many hospitals and clinics focused only on COVID-19 and other people had continuing healthcare needs, we started greater reliance on telehealth. And we still have in Wisconsin way too many folks who don't have access to high-speed internet. This will, this bipartisan infrastructure bill will, by the end of the decade, deploy high-speed broadband universally. Mm. That is the aspiration, and we need to make sure there's adequate oversight to make that happen. Another example is...
Well, I want to just pause right there because we talked earlier this week with the PSC chair, Rebecca Cameron-Vock, who said, you know, something that came up again and again is that fiber is being laid, but a person's house is just off the road to where they need to connect in. And who pays for that? So what do you envision that this high-speed internet money doing? What will it accomplish?
Well, in some cases, it will be about laying fiber, or it's neutral with regard to what form of high-speed broadband. So it could be satellite-based, it could be Wi-Fi, it could be fiber. But the idea is that not everybody is very close to the middle mile, let's call it, but where they are, it will be up to whether it's grants to the internet service providers or municipalities, co-ops, etc. I'm very focused on also making sure that we have adequate oversight of this, because this is an area where there's many, many actors. Mm-hmm. And so we have three federal agencies that have oversight over broadband. As you were talking the state has oversight too. So we have the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their rural development has broadband responsibilities, the Federal Communications Commission and the NTIA. We have to make sure as we implement this and make sure that broadband is going to be universally available and affordable, that there is effective coordination. But we need to make sure that everybody has the opportunities provided by broadband. And I think we should look at it like rural electrification.
Well, and let's pause there on electrification because Tom in Madison along those lines wants to talk. Tom, hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Thanks for having me on. I know Senator Baldwin is on the Transportation Committee in the Senate. And with this infrastructure bill, I think they should address electric vehicles. I don't think Americans are going to accept electric vehicles because of their short range and long charging times. And I don't think you're going to be able to have enough charging stations to prevent long lines from forming at their locations. I think the United States should invest in electrified roadways that can charge and provide the motive force for electric vehicles, so there isn't going to be charge anxiety. This has been done. Stockholm has an electrified highway near the airport, 20 kilometers, and Michigan is putting one in. Indiana and Utah are studying this, but these are haphazard state-type approaches, and it's going to take a national mandate to try to get this done.
Tom, thanks. Let's get Senator Baldwin to weigh in here. Go ahead, Senator Baldwin.
Well, there's a lot of initiatives sort of moving in the direction of electrifying our transportation infrastructure. Among them is President Biden's direction of let's lead by example. Let's have an electrified federal fleet as we replace older vehicles that are a part of the various agencies in the federal government. And certainly the bipartisan infrastructure bill creates the opportunity for many, many additional charging stations for electric vehicles. But it's a first step. The Build Back Better budget, which we are working on right now in the Congress, would add to that. But it is, you know, it's a huge pivot. And I appreciate the caller's ambition in terms of, you know, moving even further beyond that. But I think, you know, one step at a time, we have the major car companies in the U.S. Committing to produce a much greater number of electric vehicles in the next decade. And I think we'll see a major pivot in the U.S.
Within infrastructure, water, I want to touch on a moment. People in the town of Peshtigo, they've been brushing their teeth with bottled water for years, several years, drinking bottled water for several years, living with PFAS-polluted wells. Peshtigo not alone, DNR finding well contamination with forever chemicals in dozens of sites around Wisconsin. What is the federal government's role in addressing this pollution?
Yes, well, there's several aspects to that, and I appreciate that question. PFAS has been found in the drinking water of several communities. Typically, it's communities that are proximate to airports where they have used firefighting foams that contain PFAS. And it has contaminated the groundwater. we have to learn, first of all, more about the impact of PFAS on human health. And there has to be a federal standard that says what the acceptable level, if any, of PFAS is in drinking water. And states obviously have a role too in creating those standards. But we also have to learn more about remediation. And right now, with the bipartisan infrastructure bill, as you mentioned earlier, there is a significant amount of funding that is dedicated to remediation of PFAS contaminants. And, you know, we're going to be remediating at the same time as we are also learning more about about the risks to human health.
And we only have a few seconds left. Very quickly, you mentioned Biden's Build Back Better Act. The House passed it late last month. What are the prospects in your chamber in the Senate?
I believe that we will pass that piece of legislation before Christmas. It is it has been a painstaking process, but it is so essential. I have always said that the Build Back Better budget goes hand in glove with the bipartisan infrastructure bill, particularly because of the workforce issues. And people have struggled to return to the workforce after this pandemic. And that is because they have not been able to attain things like adequate child care and home care or retraining for new jobs.
And Senator Baldwin, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us here on the Ideas Network.